Special guest
Henry David Thoreau.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I decided to go back with the traditional intro. It just felt right. So that's how it's going to be this week. And yeah, we'll see what happens next week. Life's unpredictable like that.
It's totally unpredictable. Where do you want to, start? Maybe week in running?
Yeah, maybe week in running. I've been doing a lot of running. I pulled a muscle in my arm lifting, and I don't know how long that takes to heal. And I don't know if our listeners could advise me on that. They're very knowledgeable about running, but I don't know how much they know about strength training and stuff like that. But so anyway, all that means is I've been doing more running than usual. So
that's great.
Yeah. So a lot of nothing longer than 8 miles, but a lot of 8 mile runs, a bunch of 4 or 5, 10 Ks as well. So yeah, running's been great and I've just been loving it. Some on the treadmill with super incline and some in Central Park and a little bit by the river as well.
How many miles do you think you ran this week?
I took one day off, so I guess probably averaging like 7 miles a day. So I guess 42.
Nice. That's a huge week in running.
That would be my guess. Yeah. Or yeah, somewhere between, let's say between 36 and 42. So maybe a 6 mile average a day is more realistic.
See, I don't think maybe at my peak I ran a 40 mile week, but I don't think I rarely would get above 30.
Actually I took a day off to do just like strength, lower body strength. So,
well, that's good for running too.
Yeah. So maybe let's say 35 miles.
This was a great week in running. Let's just pause here and acknowledge that this was a phenomenal week in running for you.
It was super fun and I needed to work in more strength, and I did it on, I guess that was Saturday, and I, just squats and lunges and, leg curls and leg press, stuff like that. And actually I did do a little running that day anyway, just as a warm-up. I ran a couple miles, but then it totally like destroyed my legs. It was amazing. And then I ran 8 miles on that the next day, and then I took a day off.
That's the best. I mean, congratulations. I gotta say, I'm even more excited about this achievement than even your LA marathon.
Oh, thanks. Well, I guess, if I did have more arm injuries, we know that my running would benefit greatly.
Yeah, they say upper body strength training is sort of like a little bit counter to running strength building and training. Yeah,
it has nothing to do with running. It's pure glamour muscles. And I mean, like, I guess it's nice to be strong everywhere. But yeah. it comes in handy. Like if you're applying for a job and it's like, are you able to lift 50 pounds over your head? And then you're like, oh yeah, I can lift way more than 50 pounds. Yeah. Try me. I could do, who knows, but
yeah.
But it's nice. But yeah. Anyway, the point is it's not helpful for running.
No, not at all. Yeah. Coach friend, will sort of cycle between training for climbing and running, and they're almost like completely opposite in terms of what you have to sort of work on.
Yeah, totally. It's important to remember that life isn't just about running. Life is also about lifting weights.
Yeah.
and other stuff too, probably. Yeah.
I feel like Alex Honnold like ran, and you'd expect like somebody in that ridiculous shape to just be able to like, oh, he can just go like run something big, but he did it. And yeah, he's obviously a phenomenal athlete and was able to do it, but like was like, yeah, I was not at all properly conditioned for that.
Who are we talking about?
Alex Honnold, the free solo climber.
Cool.
If you know that documentary Free Solo.
No, I couldn't name a climber.
Okay. Most people can't, but this particular climber got pretty famous. This documentary called Free Solo, where he free solos correction coming, but I think it's like the Grand Teton or something.
Okay.
No, it's something in Yosemite. That's what it is. It's something, it's like some like classic climbing route in Yosemite, which you can hear more about on the Power Motion climbing hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Our offshoot.
And free solo, that means without ropes.
Without ropes. Correct. Yeah.
I knew that. I thought I knew.
Well, you're probably more familiar with the term free solo in the context of our friend, sometimes listener in Vermont, who refers to eating a whole pizza by himself as free soloing it.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Yeah. Make it in terms of something that people can understand and relate to. Most people are not going to ever free solo Grand Teton, which is a ridiculous name for a mountain. Thank you, French explorers. It's absurd that can we rename that? Do we have to keep calling it that?
I don't know.
Why do we have to honor their wishes?
I don't know.
Would it be like a diplomatic incident with France if we renamed the Grand Tetons to something more family friendly and less less juvenile?
I feel like at this point in the episode, you know, I guess one a little behind the scenes of the Power Motion Picnic Hour is that we rarely, if ever, I'd say never, fact check ourselves live. The phone is usually away. Like, we'll reference notes or whatever, but we're usually not looking stuff up live because we decided that's not very good podcasting right there.
No, aside from Zdeno Chara's marathon times, I don't look anything up live.
Oh yeah, I mean, like an occasional thing like that, but not like, I mean, at this point, I do want to know. I mean, I think it's Yosemite that was free soloed, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. That's one of the great joys about podcasting live and unhinged.
Yeah. Is that it doesn't matter how confident you are, the truth will come out eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how was your week in running?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. So I'd say my achievement this week was I did 8 miles of gardening on Saturday.
Okay. You gotta move around while you're doing that.
Yeah, I flipped the Strava, you know, on for gardening, and I was gardening for about 6 hours, 4 of which was moving time, and I did over 8 miles.
That's amazing. You're like a soccer player, right? Like they say, like a soccer player runs like 7 miles during a match. So what were you doing? Moving bags of mulch and stuff like that?
Bags of mulch, like wheelbarrows full of dirt and like moving brush around and stuff.
Well, if you go by like Mr. Miyagi's method, like that should train you up to win a marathon right there. So
I'm ready.
Just do something else and that'll train you.
I hear I'm running a random regional marathon in 2025, so this is the start of my training.
Yeah, why not use children's films from the 80s as a source of your method?
Yeah, but I mean, that was my week in running.
Okay. Pretty solid. Well, pretty solid unconventional. I like it.
Reflecting back on prior weeks in running where I was doing 25, 30 miles, like fairly consistently, like almost every week. And if I like went below 20, I was like, oh man, I got to get like back on track, to then like hit this little period in life where running's fallen out. I remember back in those weeks of running, like we'd talk about it. You'd be like, how was the week around? I'd be like, oh yeah, it was pretty good. Try to be pretty modest about it. Yeah. And like, you know, more recently as my running got like, you know, 15 miles, like doing all right. And like, yeah, you know, it was decent week in running, just trying to sort of like take the, what do we call it? The middle path.
Yeah, that's right.
And, but yeah, now I'd say my running's fallen out a bit, but I have a plan. I do have a plan. So, I mean, I think maybe you need some listener, encouragement with this perhaps, but,
do you want to announce the plan, or is this a secret? And that was just a teaser.
No, I'll announce the plan. Okay. It's not really too sophisticated of a plan. It's more just a coach friend recommended the idea of going micro and just doing like 20 minutes a day, every day. just like set that as the bar. Some days I'll be able to get in longer runs, but if I can just like find like a window to fit that in,
yeah,
to at least build the consistency back. So I think that's where I'm going to start anyway. That's the plan.
I think that's a great plan. I always say with just working out in general, running or lifting or whatever it is, it's just getting in the routine of doing it is the hardest part. And I, you know, whether you're going out on a run or going to the gym, I say you just got to make yourself get out there. And even if you just get to the gym and all you can do is stretch in the long run, that's still helpful, I think.
Or yeah, for running, like not feeling it, just get out and just sort of like shuffle along, you know.
Yeah, get moving.
Walk a bit, run here and there, like just get back to the consistency. But yeah, that's the plan. I mean, I welcome any listener advice as always. And I do actually, I do need to acknowledge my poor treatment of the listener on the last episode and offer a bit of a correction. I sort of just disparaged the listener. As your collective running coach, I said you were not getting very good advice from the listener. And I was just being silly. Sometimes that's the pitfall of live podcasting. Sometimes you say regrettable things.
Yeah, it's true. And like when we compare, at least I have the listening audience to help me with my running training, as opposed to my glamour muscle hobby, where I have no listening audience to give me advice. And now I have an injured, I don't know what it is, tricep. I don't even know what muscle it is.
No listener to either credit nor blame for your injury.
No, I largely learned to lift weights, I think, by like, because I've been a very regular gym goer for a long time now. Probably 15 years or something. And I think I learned a lot by like doing exercises wrong. And then someone comes up to you in the gym and tells you, hey, you shouldn't do that because blah, blah, blah. And like, I've added that up to the point where now I actually think I know how to do most things. And sometimes I'll notice people doing things wrong. And sometimes I do tell them and sometimes I don't. So I became that elder at the gym, knowledgeable old guy.
Elder. Yeah. Well, I kind of can't believe, we're trying to sort of coach me back into this, but at the same time, it's only been a couple weeks, like really, but it does feel like a long time. And I'll say, you know, that's okay. You know, this is a period and kind of figure out running again, return to running.
Yeah, I'm not gonna start worrying about you until your garden starts showing up in magazines as being especially noteworthy presentation. If that happens,
the gardening's no longer cross training at that point.
Yeah, if that happens, we might have to get popular runner Jim Pergolesi and popular keyboard player Jesse Chandler and a couple other friends and have an intervention. But I think you're fine. I think there are times where you have a bad spell in running and you replace it with gardening, just like you have an arm injury and you replace it with running. It's the same.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that was the week in running. Okay.
8 miles.
8 miles.
Collectively, Pod did over 40 miles.
Over 50.
Maybe over 50. And if we count gym, like maybe 390 or something, who knows?
Yeah, I did little like hikes and walks and stuff that I didn't measure, but yeah.
Sounds like a nice week.
It was a nice week. Yeah. Good little week. Good little week in running.
Good. Okay. I'm glad to hear it. Well, that's a nice update. We haven't had a good long week in running talk in a while. So it was nice to revisit that on this slower, less eventful episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Well, we've had a couple great special guests. We'll get right back to that. But yeah, sometimes it's nice to have a little sort of meandering episode where we go on. But we did, I don't know if you want to go to this now, but we did have I think a song of the week segment. Special one.
I think we should do that. This kind of harkens back to the early days of the Power Motion Picnic Hour a bit. Takes us back to 20 plus years ago when we first got on the air. And what were we doing? Well, we were mostly playing indie rock. And one band that was big at the time was Belle and Sebastian, featuring the smooth melodies and cryptic lyrics of Stuart Murdoch from Glasgow, Scotland.
Yep.
And we thought it would be fun, you know, Belle and Sebastian have two songs at least that are about running, which is far more than most bands. Most bands have no songs about running. Every now and then you find one, but they have two songs that are really about running. And so we thought we would compare and maybe, I don't know if we're going to decide which one's better, but just discuss both. One is Stars of Track and Field.
Make a new coat every day to suit your affairs. Kissing girls in English at the back of the stairs.
The best Belle and Sebastian album, most people would say. And then there's a lesser known Belle and Sebastian song called The Loneliness of the Middle Distance Runner, right? The Loneliness of a Middle Distance Runner. And that's like a B-side that came out probably in between the two Power Motion Picnic Hour eras.
2001, I think, on...
Oh.
Yeah, on an EP.
Never mind, then it came out during the first year of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. How apropos.
Take a second of the day to think about the things that we have done this year. A dark lies down the pouring rain. I'm underneath the smoker's railway arch again.
How apropos. Yeah, so I gotta say, I came into this with more familiarity with Stars of Track and Field, which I already know to be a great running song.
Classic.
I mean, the build, go right there. The drums build, chorus is just phenomenal. The sort of, the great Murdoch, vocal fartleks leading up to the chorus.
That's right. It feels like a long distance run, that one. Although I guess Track and Field isn't noted for its long events, but they are in there as well.
They are in there. For me, like, it has shades of I mean, like, Belle and Sebastian's always being, like, I feel like slightly ironic in some of their lyrics, and it sort of has shades of, like, the popular 90s song called Popular by Not a Surf, where it's sort of like a little bit like almost a play on, like, this thing that is, like, these beautiful track and field runners and stars.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in general, he's I discussed this a little bit pre-pod with female gearshed testing correspondent. So some of the ideas I'm passing off as my own are certainly hers, but but that's fine.
Good attribution.
Yeah, there we go. That's the full attribution, and that counts. But yeah, I mean, I think the song is definitely about a beautiful, athletic young lady who plays around and casts her spell on all sorts of young men who are in love with her. And
sure.
And I guess she's a little dumb because he kind of calls her out on that. But it also could just be him being bitter because his love might be unrequited. And, you know, I think Stuart Murdoch always is an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is great.
It's a good read. I mean, yeah. I mean, when she's on her back, she's got the knowledge to get into college.
It's
kind of supports your thesis there.
She had the move, she had the speed, it went to her head. She never needed anyone to get around the track, but when she's on her back, she had the knowledge to get her into college.
which is a great line, and it's super bitchy. And he can be pretty. I like a lyricist who's bitchy like that. You know, like Bob Dylan does that, and Mick Jagger does that, and Stuart Murdoch does that. He doesn't get called out for it as much, I think, because of his fey delivery.
Correct, but it's there, and I guess to compare a bit to. So I mean, great running song, classic.
Yeah, it runs. It runs,
for sure.
It goddamn runs.
Yeah, the loneliness of the middle distance runner. I'll say there's a tie I noticed, which you could find in many Belle and Sebastian songs, which is like the reference to hanging out like under the arch or the rail or like something. Like it's a very like everything takes place in high school, or at least high school sort of like level social
yes
setting
in every Belle and Sebastian song.
Yeah,
yeah.
In everyone,
or at least everyone in the first 10 years of Belle and Sebastian, because I do think that's probably what us and most of our listeners have listened to.
Yes, I'm not familiar with more recent Belle and Sebastian, and do apologize to Stuart Murdoch for that.
Well, if we ever have him on, we could apologize in person. We'll see if he wants to come on and do a part two for this, but
he might run. I mean, I would be surprised if he didn't run, in fact.
Yeah, actually in preparation for this, I was doing a treadmill run earlier today, and last second I realized I didn't know enough about these songs when we said we would talk about them. So I just looked up and put on the first podcast interview with Stuart Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Just picked one at random. I think it was from 2 years ago. And he didn't mention being a runner, but he did mention how he played football. And how he thought he was pretty good at football, even into his like 20s and 30s.
English football.
Yeah. It is. English football.
Yeah.
Soccer.
Soccer, some might say.
The English invented that word, right? Soccer is an English word.
Yeah, and I feel like he uses, I feel like, you know, that's a type of running for him. The loneliness of the middle distance runner was an interesting contrast for me, because I at first, you know, and I wasn't as familiar with this song. I might not have ever heard this song before. Hmm. If I did, it was a long time ago. I certainly didn't recall it specifically, but I was delighted by the start that sort of struck me as almost like Basement Tapes era, like band with that like Hammond or Wurlitzer or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that is.
They just like kick right into it. Great. I like that a lot.
Yeah, great instrumentation. I think Belle and Sebastian pulls off a lot of interesting instrumentation a lot of times. And I think this song has the best guitar solo I've ever heard in a Belle and Sebastian song. Don't think about them for their guitar solos, and when you listen to it closely, it's not even that it's that good of a solo, it's that the effects on the guitar are just so cool that you could play anything through that sound and it would sound cool, kind of like you're saying about the organ sound
kind of towards the end, right? And then I feel like at some point it just sort of like peters out too, and the organ just dies, and like that's the ending too. It's got like a sort of good sort of like raw intro outro, and then just a lot of classic Belle and Sebastian stuff in between, and so it definitely runs for me. I right now I'm more excited about the song because I've heard Stars of Track and Field like a million times, and you know, it's still great, but this one is more surprising and new. It has a lot more for me to still discover.
It's great. And, you know, I don't think I knew it when it, well, evidenced by the fact that I didn't even know what year it came out, but I don't think I knew it when it first came out. I knew it from a compilation it was on of Belle and Sebastian songs called Push Barman to Open Old Wounds.
nice.
Which is very funny. But there's not that many even acknowledgements of running in this song. Like you said, this song is mostly about like hanging out under an arch, mm-hmm. right? Like there's one real lyric where he says, "Have you seen the loneliness of a middle distance runner?" as he stops the race and looks around.
Have you seen the loneliness of a middle distance runner? When he stops the race and looks around, I left the stage, you've seen it now. I walk to the station.
And that's like the real, it's almost like that feeling is a feeling that he's also feeling while he's probably smoking cigarettes under an arch or something. Whatever he was doing. High school, I do think mostly, and I think mostly he is singing about real people and just describing something, and then, but of course we don't know, so it's kind of like Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed, maybe, where Lou Reed is just describing like six different people, real people. I think that's what Stuart Murdoch is doing in his songs. He's just describing things from his life, or possibly from films.
Yeah, some amalgamation of all of that.
Because one thing I did learn is that the title is a reference to a short story in film.
The Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner.
I've never seen it or read it, and maybe we'll give that as an assignment for the Power Motion Picnic Book Club, since it's just a short story. Maybe I'll try to read it before next week, and if any listeners want to join along, please read it as well.
And I'll do my best. but I'd like to read it too. So maybe we'll, yeah, we'll visit that on our first live Power Motion Picnic Hour book club in an episode or two.
And we'll see if Stuart Murdoch can join us for that. We'll certainly reach out.
We'll try. I also noticed that there's a Iron Maiden song, The Loneliness of a Long Distance Runner, which you have to imagine is a reference to the same short story. In
film. Oh, cool. I've never heard it. I got to listen. I don't really listen to a lot of Iron Maiden.
I don't either. I think most people, at least that I've met in my life, including myself, are more familiar with like the iconography of Iron Maiden than they are the music.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great. He's got a name, that character, right? That skeleton character.
It might be The Trooper, which is also a song.
Wow. You know more about Iron Maiden than me.
I've learned a lot from my young apprentice who's getting into metal.
Forgot you've got a metalhead living in your house.
Yeah. Who has convinced the youngest apprentice that his favorite metal band is Iron Maiden.
I mean, that objectively, that sounds like a cool choice, if not a band I'm into.
It's a cool choice because you don't actually have to listen to them, nor can anybody challenge you on them because they have also not heard Iron Maiden in any deep level. But I did listen to the song. I'll put it in as a bonus song of the week and say it's largely a vehicle for what I first, when I was listening, thought was a two-guitar attack. In the vein of like Molly Hatchet, or I'm not gonna put Thin Lizzy in the same camp here. Similar in that there's two guitars, but I'd say more of a Molly Hatchet style two guitar attack, which I later would learn through my brief research is actually a three guitar army.
Okay, I like that we're getting the terminology right here, which is nice.
Well, language is important, but
yeah,
so. Anyway, they definitely attack with the army.
Okay.
For long sections of the song.
I'll give it a spin. I don't listener at home, if you want to give it a spin, but if you don't, that's fine. I remember first semester in college, I was in macroeconomics, and on the first day, a classmate of ours approached me after class because I was wearing a Dropkick Murphys t-shirt. This is like September 2000, and he was wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt. And I think he thought maybe we should be friends because we went to a college where most people listen to, I don't know, you know, stuff more like Guster or something. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm generalizing. There's a lot of variety in what people listen to. Plenty of people like plenty of stuff, but it wasn't a place where
some people liked Guster.
Yeah. Or stuff like that. People liked mellower music. There were less people who liked heavy music. And so I think he saw a possible kindred spirit. And so we did hang out. We didn't become close friends, but we are still friends on social media. So he might be a listener. So hello.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, we can use all the help we can get with heavy metal and Iron Maiden, clearly, but.
That's true. And that could be, and I request input then, I guess, from this old friend.
So we'll hear from the community. Everybody's going to listen to the Iron Maiden song, watch the film, and also read the book, the short story.
So many assignments.
We'll report back in the next within the next year.
And everybody, please run a virtual marathon at your own pace and report back your level of enjoyment.
This reminds me a lot of something my unaffiliated member of the household sometimes reminds me that I often take on too many projects and often leave some of them unfinished. I think about the Power Motion Picnic Hour, our ridiculous assignment from this episode for the listener. If any listener does any one of those three things, I'll be ecstatic. So
yeah,
you know, maybe, you know, choose your own adventure.
I do the same thing that you do, taking on too many projects. I was just asked earlier today to play guitar at like an event. Somebody needed an acoustic rhythm player for a David Bowie night, and I haven't officially said yes, but I'm gonna say yes in like an hour
because we're certainly leaning in that direction.
I mean, what am I gonna say no? Like,
I will say that if I could just plug the Plastic Man-Made Sunshine Machine for for just a moment. To me, this is a new musical project of yours that to me is a great inspiration for Fortissimo's and all others. But as a Fortissimo, to see this project come to life that I feel like you wrote many years ago, and it's one of those projects that's been out there for a long time and has slowly pieced together. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I don't usually plug my own musical projects here, but yeah, I think I have my first performance next week of a new project, and I think I wrote the lyrics when I was 29.
Yeah, and it's less to plug the band, although also that, but and I'm doing that, not you, but so my apologies, but I'd say it's more as a reference to the type of project that we're talking about that often goes unfinished that you've actually brought to completion.
That's true. That's the most notable thing about it, regardless of whether it's good or anyone likes it, is that I wrote the lyrics in 2011 and I wrote the music in 2023.
Awesome.
And that's such a long time between the two, and somehow it feels like a coherent piece.
That's great. I mean, I think that's an interesting concept in art, is like sort of when things are finished or how things are finished, and some things taking like incredibly long amounts of time, other things coming together very quickly. But anyway, it's inspirational to me as somebody with a lot of projects sort of floating out there.
You can finish them. And that's another question we can ask Stuart Murdoch when he's on next week. Because in the interview I heard with him, they asked about how he writes songs, and he said he always has a melody before he writes any lyrics, and he didn't. Yeah. And I'm actually very different. I usually write full sets of lyrics before any music.
I've written both ways. I usually write best and like quickest with some sort of like concept that's there, and then I just need to put it down.
Yeah, I mean, Murdoch's good, so I'll take his his approach into consideration. Although that's actually how I wrote more when I was a young man, as a teenager, and I eventually moved away from it. But I did start out with the Murdoch approach for years.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. I don't know if we have more to say about the song. I think I read the quote. I like the rest of it is just about what hanging out at a train station. Oh, I like the line. I like the line where he says the railway ticket states the destination, but it doesn't mean that we will show.
I like that.
There's a fork upon the line. We'll pay the guard to switch the signs. Off we go.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Devilish, Stuart. That's not real, but I like the impulse.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's enough on the songs. I would say they both run.
I'd say they both run too. And as far as you know, sort of closing loose ends, I think we do. This is maybe a reminder. We need to finalize our bus stop ad. I'll just put it out there because we've considered a couple different cities and locations.
Let's not wait 12 years to finish that project.
I actually, that reminds me, I should give a shout out to our Des Moines listening community, which has seen a big uptick in recent weeks.
Hey, that's great. I love Iowa. I've never been, but I love The Music Man and Field of Dreams.
It's like the most exciting thing for the country since Amazon was like choosing its second headquarters, which was just going to be like a warehouse or something. But
yeah,
Des Moines is definitely in consideration for Power Motion Picnic Hour bus stop ad.
Okay, why not? I'd love to go.
I love to go. Love somebody to just send us a picture of the bus stop once the ad's up. Who happens to be there? I mean, we can go any number of ways. Let's see. I got a little update on listener Dan.
Okay, always love to hear from him.
a little mailbag entry, which was a video that was about 10 seconds of length, with some guitar playing and like a picture of like gradated color.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
did it run?
I think it ran.
Nice.
I think it might have been a contribution to his regional stoner rock conversation that's been ongoing for some time.
Ongoing conversation between him and us, and him and nature, and anyway, it's sort of like when he went running in the community mile and lost service while he was recording himself, but the conversation continued whether it was being recorded or not.
That's correct.
And we're running low on time, but we got one more mailbag entry that I think we should mention. And I don't know if I have this here, but we got like an entry about the Ralph Waldo Emerson Trail Race.
Oh,
right.
We did get that.
And I don't know if I can get this episode edited quickly enough because it's May 2nd, but the Ralph Waldo Emerson Trail Race is this Saturday, May 4th in Concord, New Hampshire.
I have some actually big news to report about this.
Okay.
So upon receiving this mailbag, I reached out to some members of the Power Motion Picnic Hour community who happen to live in the area.
Okay.
And one of them agreed to sign up, and it's not Coach Friend. It's a different runner. Yeah. Oh,
and they're going to compete in the Ralph Waldo Emerson Trail Race. Is that what it is?
Trail Race. And this harkens back to early Power Motion Picnic Hour, where we often talked about Henry David Thoreau, his running, his FKTs around Walden Pond, which, by the way, Walden Pond, I ran there. Yeah. There's actually literally a sign that says no running.
Did Thoreau put it up himself? Is it like an old sign?
No running.
No running.
Emerson.
Yeah. No, it's directed to Thoreau. Emerson put it up there for him.
We had memes about Thoreau like casting aspersion at Emerson, calling him DNFerson. So anyway, we've got a listener that's going to be competing in the Emerson race, and perhaps we'll have them on to give a little race recap.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the recap, the race report. Do you know if they'll be doing the short course or the long course?
We'll find out.
All right.
I don't know.
I like the cliffhanger nature of that. And if I do get this edited quickly enough, which I most likely will not, let's see. Online registration closes. Oh no, tonight. No
tonight.
Way. Yeah.
But no, I know this runner and listener is registered. I saw the registration come through. I mean, we'll hear all about it. So there
it's
you
legit.
Go.
And you know,
this is our consolation for the dear listener that we so insulted last week.
That's right. And I do love a 4 mile race. I do a lot of them with New York Roadrunners. I think that's just a great distance. So I can't wait to hear about it and hear someone else's input instead of me just commenting for the 20th time on a different 4 mile race where I failed to PR.
Recapping the community mile again.
Yeah. Who wants to hear a 30th recap of the community mile? That seems like a nice place to leave it. It does look like we're just about out of time. So I guess all that there's left to say is until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
DNFerson.
This is the Power